Lecture 25, The Horns of Hatton.
In this lecture, I plan to deal with the Battle of the Horns of Hatton, which took place on July 4th, 1187. And to understand why the Crusaders received such a crushing defeat from Saladin, it's necessary to look at a number of political issues in the Kingdom of Jerusalem as well as in Saladin's own domains. And I want to stop for a moment and remind us where we are. This event, the Battle of Hatton, led to the immediate collapse of the Kingdom of Jerusalem. Within months of the victory, Saladin occupied all of Outremer, with the exception of essentially Antioch, Tripoli, and Tyre. Virtually every castle surrendered. There were a few holdouts, such as Crac des Chevaliers, but on the whole, the kingdom was blotted out within a matter of months. It's easy to think that Saladin's victory was inevitable, that he was the greatest conqueror of the Muslim Middle Ages. He's still remembered as a great conqueror in the Islamic world. There's always invocations of Saladin's name by various petty dictators and would-be emulators of him. It's also clear that Saladin dominated Syria, Iraq, the Al Jazeera. He had access to the professional Kurdish and Turkmen armies. He also controlled Egypt and all of its revenues. So when you look at the map, the immediate conclusion is that the Crusader states were doomed. And they just didn't have the resources and manpower to oppose the great conqueror. Well, that is looking in retrospect, and it is important to keep in mind that the outcome at Hatton was by no means predetermined, that a great deal of it had to do with the generalship of Saladin and the lack of generalship by King Guy of Jerusalem. The battle turns out to be an important moment in Crusader history because it, in effect, closes the first century or so of Crusader history, essentially the 12th century, which we've examined in the second third of this course, and it opened up a whole new period in Crusader history, and that is the reconquest of Jerusalem, the reconstitution of the kingdom, which was reconstituted along different lines, and the various crusades of the 13th century, which eventually led to the end of the crusading movement entirely, and the obliteration of Crusader rule in 1291, when the last major fortress, Acre, falls to the Mamluk Sultan. So Hatton acts as a crucial turning point between essentially what is, we would call the 12th century, the first century of Crusader history, and the second half of Crusader history. Well, how did this come about, and why were the personalities so important for the outcome we got? And I think that requires us to look first at what the succession crisis was in the Kingdom of Jerusalem and compare this particular succession crisis with other crises. By no means were the Crusader states unfamiliar with the lack of an effective adult male king. There had been regency crises before. These had been handled. There were clearly institutions in place to deal with this. The second issue is then to look at Baldwin IV, the melancholy leper king, son of Amalric I, who came to the throne already known to be a leper and whose days were numbered and died an absolutely agonizing death. And left the Kingdom of Jerusalem in this political crisis. To his credit, Baldwin was an extremely precocious monarch who understood the political dangers and tried to take precautions to head off the type of disaster that occurred at Hatton. And then finally, let's look at the campaign itself, and especially King Guy of Lusignan, the son-in-law of Baldwin, who, in my opinion, is more responsible than anyone else for that disaster at Hatton and the destruction of the kingdom, which then ushered the Third Crusade and a whole new wave of crusading movements.